This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 21st, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News. Small exchange scores a first with cannabis futures contract. The small exchange is known for its bite-sized futures products aimed at retail investors, including the small U.S. dollar, small stock 75, and small precious metals contracts. Its latest product, which was launched on Monday, fits that bill. But small cannabis equity index futures also make their mark in another way, as the first cannabis-related futures to trade in the U.S. It's pretty exciting, said Donnie Roberts, president and CEO of the Small Exchange, in an interview with JLN. Launching the futures contract before cannabis is federally legal in the U.S. is a gutsy move, he acknowledged. But he added that investor interest is there, especially since the cannabis sector has been outperforming the broader equity market. Right now is the time, Roberts said. It's best to offer it now so people can hedge their risk going forward, he said, noting growth of the industry and customer demand even without federally legal status. According to researchers at Colorado-based BDSA, U.S. legal cannabis sales rose 46% from 2019 to 2020. To read the rest of the story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Today's lead story from the Wall Street Journal by Justin Lahart and Telus Demos reports on a 2019 paper by researchers Sean Foley, Jonathan Carlson, and Talis Putnens that estimated that 46% of Bitcoin transactions conducted from January 2009 to April 2017 were for illegal activity. If that type of activity represents the true economic purpose of Bitcoin, then what we are doing in the markets is making the spreads tighter for this illicit activity, and it supports my arguments from 2017 that Bitcoin was created to better launder money. Money laundering is, by some estimates, the third largest business in the world, so why would players there not want to invest in better technological ways to launder money? Don't get me wrong, there are lots of good things about Bitcoin too and the crypto revolution it has inspired. Good things can come from bad beginnings. But other than investing or holding, what is the economic purpose of Bitcoin? What are the underlying transactions that it is used for? Who is Satoshi Nakamoto? I'm still waiting for an answer to that question. The page counter on MarketsWiki at the bottom of the top box reflects that we have updated the underlying software, MediaWiki, for the site. It also reflects the fact that the upgrade took out the embedded page counter in the software, and we have had to install a new external counter. By the way, a big shout out to CIO Jeff Bergstrom for his great work and the dedication to getting MarketsWiki migrated to the new MediaWiki software. He put in hours and hours searching for solutions to outdated apps that did not work with the new updated MediaWiki software. Thank you, Jeff, for your great work. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign over the weekend. Thank you to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. This story is from the New York Times. The health benefits of coffee. Drinking coffee has been linked to a reduced risk of all kinds of ailments, including Parkinson's disease, melanoma, prostate cancer, even suicide. Americans sure love their coffee. Even last spring, when the pandemic shut down New York, nearly every neighborhood shop that sold takeout coffee managed to stay open, and I was amazed at how many people ventured forth to start their stay-at-home days with a favorite store-made brew. My comment, they had me at coffee. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Michael Burry warns retail traders about the mother of all crashes. The fund manager of Big Short fame issued a stark series of tweets about cryptocurrencies and meme stocks. Michael Burry, who became a household name after his winning bet against mortgages, was featured in The Big Short, issued a series of tweets on Thursday warning individual investors about losses the size of countries in the event of crypto and meme stock declines. My comment, prescient or noise? Which one? Here's a story from Bloomberg as well. Jane Street DRW traders made billions as virus hit markets. Both firms saw revenues and earnings jump more than 50%. Jane Street's results show its growing importance in markets. Proprietary trading shops are notoriously secretive, so when markets went topsy-turvy in 2020, it was almost impossible to know how successful many firms were. It turns out, very. Financial results from some of the niche's key players are quietly making the rounds on Wall Street as the companies seek loans to fund their operations. They show extraordinary gains amid last year's pandemic turmoil. My comment, good luck is where preparation meets opportunity. They had lots of both, and the results show it. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Ag firm Ceres subpoenaed by U.S. regulators over oat trading. Ceres Global Ag Corp received subpoenas from the U.S. Department of Justice focusing on trading in the oat market, the company said in a brief statement late Friday. The company based in Minneapolis also received a voluntary document request from the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission and is cooperating with both investigations, it said in a statement. My comment, this is not connected to the restaurant bar Ceres in the CBOT building where they used to serve lots of oatmeal. Here's a story from Newsweek. Man invests $20 in obscure cryptocurrency becomes trillionaire. When Chris Williamson put $20 into cryptocurrency Rocket Bunny, he didn't expect to become a trillionaire overnight. Yet temporarily, at least, that appeared to be what happened. The Georgia nursing school student had dabbled in cryptocurrencies for around 8 months and invested in the currency on Monday. On Tuesday, its value had soared to $1.4 trillion. My comment, get me out! Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story on Friday was the sad story, U.S. financial executive dies by suicide as firm faces fraud claims, from Yahoo News. Second was, again in the top three, the Amazon.com page for the obesity code, which John, me, touted in Hits and Takes. Third was how to build your personal brand and boost your career, from Dev Experts. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 22nd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the Hits and Takes section. Congratulations to Dr. Richard Sandor, Chairman and CEO of the American Financial Exchange and Father of Financial Futures, for receiving an honorary professorship at Fudan University in Shanghai, China, in recognition of his contributions and achievements in the field of emissions trading. A ceremony in Shanghai, China, announcing Dr. Sandor's appointment took place on June 15, 2021. Congratulations to Jennifer Peavy, a fellow member of the CFTC's Technology Advisory Committee, who has been named Head of Strategy and Business Development at DTCC. Our friends at The Trade have published their summer 2021 issue of The Trade magazine. It features an interview with head of EMEA equity trading at BlackRock, Paul Badams, who sat down with Haley McDonnell to discuss evolving market structure trends and his top priorities as a buy-side trading leader at the world's largest asset manager. And there is lots more. Former U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler is working hard in the state of Georgia to register conservative voters in an effort called Greater Georgia. It sounds like she won't be backed anytime soon. Martin Wolf of the Financial Times has come out with his summer books of 2021, Economics. These are the best mid-year reads. Trading Technologies made its weekly match of donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Thank you to TT and all who have given and all who have yet to give. We have a bunch of interviews for all our series coming out very soon. Stay tuned. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. James Vorley, a former precious metals trader at Deutsche Bank, was sentenced Monday to 12 months and one day imprisonment for his role in spoofing CME futures, along with co-defendant Cedric Chenu, also a former Deutsche Bank employee, was convicted of three counts of wire fraud in a pandemic-tainted jury trial last September for allegedly fraudulent trades spanning from 2008 to 2013. The conduct of the trial was controversial because, among other things, it was conducted in accordance with federal and state COVID-19 guidelines that led to only 11 jurors eventually deliberating the verdicts after one juror fell ill. Federal Judge John Thorpe, who presided over the trial and issued the sentence, said the imposition of jail time was meant to signal the seriousness of the charges and that white-collar crimes do result in incarceration. Vorley's attorney, Richard Burlingame, indicated the verdict was likely to be appealed. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the Financial Times about the Vorley case. Ex-Deutsche Bank trader sentenced to prison in spoofing case. Former London-based metals trader James Vorley jailed in U.S. for a year and a day. A former Deutsche Bank commodities trader was sentenced to 12 months and a day in prison for spoofing the futures markets for gold and silver between 2008 and 2013. James Vorley, a British citizen who worked as a precious metals trader at Deutsche in London from 2007 to 2015, was sentenced on Monday by the Northern District of Illinois. He was found guilty in September along with Cedric Chenu, another ex-Deutsche Bank trader. The pair had faced a maximum of 30 years in jail. My comment, I don't agree with the sentence. I would have testified on Vorley's behalf about what spoofing is and what it was defined had I been given the chance. Here's a press release from Trading Technologies International, Inc. Trading Technologies launches support for CBOE U.S. options and plans day one connectivity to CBOE Europe derivatives via the TT platform. Trading Technologies International, a global provider of high-performance professional trading software, infrastructure, and data solutions, today announced it now supports trading of U.S. equity index and ETF options on the CBOE Options Exchange, C1, through the TT platform. In addition, TT will offer day one connectivity to CBOE Europe derivatives, a new Amsterdam-based futures and options market that is set to launch September 6, 2021, subject to regulatory approvals. My comment, there is a reason that TT is Trading Technologies International, Inc. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Blackstone bet $6 billion on buying and renting homes. Deal for Home Partners of America, owner of over 17,000 homes in U.S., is latest sign Wall Street believes housing market will stay hot. Blackstone Group has agreed to buy a company that buys and rents single-family homes in a $6 billion deal. That's a sign Wall Street believes the U.S. housing market is going to stay hot. The giant investment firm has reached a deal to acquire Home Partners of America, Inc., according to people familiar with the matter. Home Partners owns more than 17,000 houses throughout the U.S., which it bought, rents out, and offers its tenants tenants the chance to eventually buy. My comment, how hot is the housing market? My brother and his wife bid above the asking price of a house and included an escalation clause in their offer, and they still lost the house. Here's a story from Reuters. Quote, I regret any harm, unquote. Short seller compensates target in rare move. A small Texas investor who caused shares of a real estate investment trust to plunge 39% in a day has agreed to pay the company restitution to settle a lawsuit against him, a rare development that could embolden other companies to pursue such claims. My comment, in related news, a man bit a dog. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Bagpipes and barbecues, incentives abound to lure staff back to the office. As lockdowns ease, the fine line between enticement and coercion will become a divisive issue in global workplaces. If you enjoy the skirl of the bagpipes, Steelcase's global headquarters in Grand Rapids, Michigan is calling you back. The Employee Pipe Band, a staff blues group, and barbecues are part of the entertainment laid out by the U.S. furniture maker in recent weeks to encourage its 1,400 staff to return to the office after more than a year of working mainly remotely. My comment, bagpipes will not get you back in the office. They will run you out of the office. They are an instrument of war, best heard out of doors. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. A truckload of evidence, 42,000 pounds of pistachios, are stolen in California. A man who worked for a trucking contractor was charged with stealing 21 tons of nuts from a pistachio grower, the Tulane County Sheriff's Office said. A California pistachio company was conducting a routine audit when it noticed something suspicious. About 42,000 pounds of pistachios, nearly enough to fill a truck trailer, were missing. Officials of the company, Touchstone Pistachio, called the Agricultural Crimes Unit of the Tulane County Sheriff's Office. Within days after checking surveillance footage, sheriff deputies arrested 34-year-old Alberto Montemayor, who had been working for Montemayor Trucking, a family-owned business that the pistachio company had hired this year as a contractor, according to authorities. My comment, this thief is just nuts. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story on Monday was, for the third time in the top three, U.S. financial executive dies by suicide as firm faces fraud claims, from Reuters via Yahoo News. Second was Newsweek's man invests $20 in obscure cryptocurrency, becomes trillionaire overnight, at least temporarily. Third was Jane Street DRW traders made billions as virus hit markets, from Bloomberg. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 23rd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Would you like to serve the futures industry in the U.S. to preserve the self-regulatory structure? The NFA is seeking committee members and arbitrators. For more details, you can find a link in today's newsletter. Known for his cow print trading jacket, Scott Challaday is moving to Nashville, Tennessee, and has accepted a position as a TV host with the nation's largest agricultural cable news network, RFD-TV Rural Media Group. The show is called Market Day Report, and it runs daily from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The show airs in 54 million households and is carried by all major cable providers except Xfinity. The JLN team met in our office in the CBOT building Tuesday for the first time since the pandemic hit. Even Nancy Ashburn was in town. It was nice to see everyone in person. there were the greatest number of people downtown and in the CBOT building that I have seen recently. It has increased just in the last 2 weeks. It reminded me of two things. One is that it's nice to accidentally run into people. Two, it reminded me how much I hate the commute downtown. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. I did interview former CBOT trader Bruce Williams over Zoom and PJ Quaid in our offices in the CBOT building. Our friends over at Canton Mutual have written a note about a case alleging market manipulation that is proceeding in federal court in New York. The case, which a federal appeals court is allowing to go forward, was brought against Credit Suisse for its hedging activities in the VIX futures during the February 2018's Volmageddon. Credit Suisse was an issuer of notes tied inversely to the VIX, and Credit Suisse seemed to think that its prior disclosure of its hedging activities inoculated it from concerns about the effects of its trading on market conditions. The district court agreed with Credit Suisse. The circuit court disagreed, and now the case goes forward. You can read Catton's note with a link in today's newsletter. Chuck Mackey reports from another crypto conference with Shining a Light on Digital Asset Markets 2021, Day 1 on Medium. Three takeaways from the latest is a seemingly endless line of crypto events. You can read his comments with a link in today's newsletter. Laura Morrison, CBOE Vice President and Global Head of Listings, on Thursday hosts option trader and educator John Najarian, innovator ETF CEO Bruce Bond, and innovator Vice President of Research Graham Day for an online chat about the outlook for the second half of 2021 and option strategies to enhance returns. More information is available in the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a press release from Mondivisione. The American Financial Exchange launches a Maribor term structure of interest rates based on overnight Maribor cash and futures prices. The American Financial Exchange, or AFX, an electronic exchange for direct lending and borrowing for American banks and financial institutions, announces today the launch of the Maribor term structure interest rates based on the overnight unsecured Maribor cash and implied rates from Maribor futures contracts currently listed on the CBOE Futures Exchange. My comment, building the curve one section at a time. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The world's financial centers struggle back to the office. The journey back to your desk is shaping up to be slow and indirect, roughly 15 months after locking down to ward off COVID-19. Several of the globe's key financial centers are struggling to get employees back to their offices. Workplace activity in London, New York, and San Francisco is still 50% below the normal level, according to mobility data from Google, which tracks the locations of its users. Other evidence from Frankfurt, Singapore, and Hong Kong reveals how virus-related restrictions have changed habits and caused new problems. My comment, we still have a long way to go. Here's a story from The Spread. AFM appoints Goldman Sachs sales head as first female chair. New chair takes over from Michael Cole Fontaine, who has been chair of the trade group AFME for the last 6 years. The Association of Financial Markets in Europe has appointed the global head of sales, strats, and structuring at Goldman Sachs as its first female chair. My comment, progress is being made. Here's a press release from TT. Trading Technology Score, the perfect marriage of augmented analytics and big data. Some people call this artificial intelligence, but the reality is that technology will enhance us. So instead of artificial intelligence, I think we'll augment our intelligence. Ginni Rometty, former CEO of IBM. The quote from Ginni Rometty perfectly captures what we have been aiming to accomplish with TT Score since we started working on it several years ago. We are not applying machine learning technology to trade surveillance in order to automate compliance officers out of their job. My comment, the perfect marriage involves the balance of the right number of fights and making up. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JALN. Our top story Thursday was the Financial Times ex-Deutsche Bank trader sentenced to prison in spoofing case about former London-based metals trader James Vorley. Second was, for the fourth time in the top three, U.S. financial executive dies by suicide as firm faces fraud claims, from Reuters via Yahoo. Third was, I regret any harm. Short seller compensates target in rare move, from Reuters, in which a small Texas investor who caused shares of a REIT to drop 39% in one day agreed to pay the company restitution to settle a lawsuit against him. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 24th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JALN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The NFA has posted videos on their website from their member regulatory workshops held in May. NFA staff discussed a variety of topics such as virtual exam tips and coronavirus-related relief, cybersecurity, recent rulemaking, and common exam findings, among others, in these videos, which would be better described as online PowerPoint presentations with a talking head in the upper right corner of the window. The Federation of European Asia Stock Exchanges elected 11 new board members during their 32nd Annual General Assembly meeting. The newly elected FEES board members are the Egyptian Exchange, Kazakhstan Stock Exchange, Amman Stock Exchange, Armenia Securities Exchange, Athens Stock Exchange, Iraq Stock Exchange, Muscat Stock Exchange, Sydney Stock Exchange, Tehran Stock Exchange, European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, or EBRD, and Muscat Clearing and Depository. The new FEES chairman is Dr. Mohamed Farid Salah, the Egyptian exchange, and the vice chairman is Ms. Alina Aldambergen, Kazakhstan Stock Exchange. The new FEES working chairman is Mr. Socrates Lizardis, Athens Stock Exchange, and the new vice chairman of the working group is Mr. Michael Goh, Sydney Stock Exchange. Trish Fichet of the IFM reported on LinkedIn that the workshop Clearing 101 Exchanges, Clearinghouses, and CCPs being held this week is sold out. There will be another workshop in September if you missed this one. The FIA is hiring. They are looking for a new database systems manager working out of their posh Washington, D.C. headquarters. Contact jobs@fia.org for more information. There's a link for the job description in today's newsletter. Jemima Kelly follows the cryptocurrency community for the Financial Times and has a great commentary about those who spout increasingly popular "Have Fun Staying Poor" jibe at Bitcoin skeptics titled, "We Shouldn't Listen to Crypto Experts. Most are just insiders talking up their interests." She points out that Bitcoin enthusiast thinking is just like those in a Ponzi scheme. She quotes Martin Walker, director of banking and finance at the Center for Evidence-Based Management, saying, "The brilliance of the whole crypto scam is that you don't actually have to generate any income to pay anyone, so you don't run out of money because you're making people believe and the number go up." I expect new highs in hate mail for her inbox. There were no new donations to the JALN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Today, I'm having a procedure done that is part of a test to see if an electric stimulator placed in my back will give me pain relief. I will have the stimulator leads embedded in my epidural space and the stimulator on the outside. If this works, I will later have the stimulator placed under my skin. I was checking to see if there was a version with an arc reactor, but alas, none were available. Chuck Mackey is back with Shining a Light on Digital Assets 2021, Day 2 and Final Thoughts. Three takeaways from the latest and greatest in crypto from the Association of Digital Asset Markets, Adam and Aventis. You can read about it on Medium with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. JLN published a video, The Back Office Headaches from Big Volume and How to Manage Them. Daniel Carpenter is the head of sales at Meritsoft, a Cognizant company. John Lothian News interviewed Carpenter about the problems created by high volume trading from banks, brokerages, and other institutions, including how a company that tracks the different fees it's paying or collecting from various trades. Whatever the problem was before, it's now three times harder in markets where volumes have exploded in recent years. Carpenter addresses the various issues these firms face and how a firm like Meritsoft can help them mitigate the problems and improve the processes so the end of the month is not an insurmountable obstacle. John Lothian interviewed Carpenter over Zoom and asked him about the problems high volumes have created for firms' back offices, what digitization works, and how much firms can save by digitizing. He also addressed the issue of digitized rate cards. You can view this video on johnlothiannews.com. Looking for the right type of disruption in the wild west of hemp? After a long career in exchange-traded derivative, Jack Bajorian, chairman of Global Smart Commodity Group, is doing an about-face, turning to blockchain technology and tokenized settlement to facilitate trading. Listen to the podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from the CME Group. CME Group and Mayor Lightfoot award scholarships for STAR scholars to continue education at four-year colleges and universities. CME Group, the world's largest and most diverse derivatives marketplace, and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot have awarded 25 STAR scholars with scholarships towards earning a degree at a four-year college or university. The award recipients recently graduated from City Colleges of Chicago with an associate's degree and will receive a $5,000 scholarship from CME Group to continue their education, helping create more equitable opportunities for hardworking students in Chicago. My comment, the CME Group is doing a lot for Chicago. It is great to see this civic leadership from the exchange group. Here's a press release from the SEC. New SEC public service campaign, Investing Regularly, really adds up. The Securities and Exchange Commission's Office of Investor Education and Advocacy today unveiled a public service campaign to educate investors on the benefits of investing and encourage them to use the free financial planning tools and information on the SEC's online resource, investor.gov. More than 30 million users have accessed investor.gov since it launched in October of 2009. The SEC expanded its outreach program in 2016 to include PSCs to reach and educate more investors. My comment, I think I will stick with multiplication. Here's a story from the Financial Times. COVID Delta strain risks spreading like wildfire among unvaccinated in U.S. More contagious variant accounts for more than a third of new cases. The Delta variant of coronavirus has swept across Europe and is now gaining ground in the U.S., posing a particular threat to unvaccinated people and risking a surge in cases. The Delta strain, which was first identified in India, accounts for more than a third of new cases each day in the U.S., according to a Financial Times analysis of global genomic data from the virus tracking database GISAID, up from 10% at the end of May. My comment, it ain't over till it's over. It ain't over. Here's another story from the Financial Times. This one is the Jemima Kelly story. Why we shouldn't listen to crypto experts. Most are just insiders talking up their interests. As someone who has written about crypto on and off for more than 6 years, I've become used to the endless armies of zealots and trolls who harangue me every time I write anything vaguely critical of Bitcoin. I consider such goading annoying, but part of the job, and I tend to ignore it. But recently, I've been struck by one increasingly common jibe because it inadvertently undermines the supposedly altruistic aims of the Bitcoin Brigade. Have fun staying poor. My comment, this is why I did not enjoy reporting from the trading floor about the markets back when I was a cub reporter. Sources were either lying or talking their positions in order to help the narrative towards their economic interests. Here's a story from CNBC. Baby bonds, the $60 billion plan to give every American baby $1,000. The racial wealth divide between white and black families in the U.S. is more of a chasm than a gap. In 2019, the median household wealth for white families was nearly $190,000, almost 8 times higher than that of black households, according to Federal Reserve data. Baby bonds are one proposal to help close the divide. Unlike regular bonds, they are not a debt instrument traded in public markets. Instead, the proposal would create a federally funded trust fund account for every newborn baby in the U.S. My comment, who had we need more trust funds in bingo? Here's a story from CoinDesk. McAfee found dead in Spanish prison as extradition loomed. Autopsy planned. The software magnat and crypto investor had been facing extradition to the U.S. on fraud charges. John McAfee, the controversial software magnat and crypto booster, has died by suicide in a prison in Barcelona. El Paris first was to report the news. Prison sources tell CoinDesk an autopsy is being planned. McAfee was awaiting extradition to the U.S. for tax fraud, which the Spanish High Court authorized just this morning. My comments, other versions of this story can be found in the Financial Times, Bloomberg, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the NFA's notice that it is seeking committee members and arbitrators. Second was the advisory note from Katten Muchin. Second Circuit opinion allows market manipulation claims based on hedging activity about the alleged manipulation by Credit Suisse during the Volmageddon. Third was Chuck Mackey's report on Medium, shining a light on digital asset markets 2021, day one. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for June 25th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of JLN. I now have a nice gentle electric current buzzing through my lower half to help mask the pain signals being sent by my nerves down there. The full impact of the week-long trial does not hit until about Monday, when some of the hidden electric signals will take full effect. The results so far are good, though when I move suddenly, I can get a bit of a jolt from the stimulator as it adjusts to my new position. I am fairly optimistic at this point. The stimulator can provide me with some relief from the chronic back pain I have been experiencing, which has gotten worse during the pandemic. I am somewhat limited in what I can do for the next week while the trial is going on, since I am told not to bend, lift, or twist, or what they call BLT. The goal is to reduce my pain and reduce my dependence on pharmaceutical solutions to manage it. I am blessed with good doctors and Elmhurst Memorial Hospital, the number one large community hospital in the U.S., to help me. This weekend, we will publish the second episode of the Relaunch the Spread video series about the option markets. So far, we are getting a feel for the content and some new presentation styles, but what is lacking is the usual humor embedded into the content. Don't worry, we'll get our sense of humor back soon enough. CBOE Global Markets' new headquarters in the old post office building in Chicago is a finalist for the Architzer A+ Awards. Michael Smith of IEX has a post on their blog talking about how midpoint trading on IEX has improved since the introduction of the delimit order type. The FIA Japan Commodity Committee has just released a summary of its recent activities and discussions. If you're interested in participating in their committee activities, please contact their chair at the FIAJ office. Symphony CEO Brad Levy will keynote at the Now You Can Festival to discuss the acceleration of low-code, no-code in financial markets. Register with a link in today's newsletter. Michael J. Walsh, Managing Director of Research and Public Policy at IncubeX, has a commentary on Medium titled, Part of the Climate Solution is Found in Our Past. Quantitative Brokers is now supporting CME's Bitcoin futures and micro Bitcoin futures. If you know someone interested in a Stack scholarship fund, there's a link in today's newsletter. Philip Capital has a new theme for their corporate brainstorming event, which is One Philip. To emphasize this, they are having soccer jerseys made up with the theme on them. Mine should be a double extra large tall if they're giving them away. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. The CME Group shared an update on their recent record of CME's SOFR futures trading activity. Following last week's FOMC meeting, CME SOFR futures saw record volumes as participants managed positions across the short-term interest rates curve. 5-day ADV surged to 223,000 contracts, including record days of 275 contracts on June 16th, the FOMC day, and 340,000 contracts on June 18th. For more information on CME's SOFR futures, you can find a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From FIA, Viewpoint, FIA Tech Grows Up by Walt Lukin. June is a month when millions of young people graduate and enter the next phase of their lives. Earlier this month, I attended my oldest son's high school graduation, and the experience filled me with both pride and trepidation. Watching this young man grow up has been the pride of my life. While I'm sad he's leaving home, he's off to Boston College in the fall, I know that big things await him and that his growth requires us to let him go off in the big world. I thought about this graduation analogy when FIA announced a major milestone in the development of FIA Tech, our subsidiary that provides technology services to the listed derivatives industry. My comment, FIA Tech got some big boy pants. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Hedge funds launch effort to boost image as DC scrutiny mounts. Trade Group unveils ad campaign targeted at Capitol Hill. New strategy represents a shift for secretive fund industry. Hedge funds have long stayed out of the political fray. Now, as lawmakers and regulators increasingly put the firms in their sights, the secretive industry is reversing course. The main hedge fund lobbying group, which represents 135 funds including Citadel, Elliott Management Corp., and Renaissance Technologies, is launching a multi-million dollar campaign Thursday to better explain to Washington what its members actually do. My comment, they have a lot of work to do on this. Stay away from we are doing God's work theme. It is already taken. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Phantom Goldman banker is bait in Swiss trader kidnapping trap. Trader once worth $96 million was held for 6 days near Paris. You were programmed to be killed, kidnappers told him. When Yami Rodrig got into the old, dirty-looking car parked on a quiet street in a western Paris suburb on a rainy evening in January 2015, he had an uneasy feeling something wasn't quite right. But then I told myself it can't be, the 63-year-old Geneva-based trader said in a Paris courtroom during the trial this month of his alleged kidnappers. That's how it started. My comment, wait, a Goldman banker is the phantom? Here's a story from CoinDesk. ASX boss says his DLT settlement system will be bigger than all of crypto market. We are moving $3 trillion of securities onto this system, and that is larger than the whole crypto world, says Stevens. The head of the Australian Securities Exchange has thrown down the gauntlet on cryptocurrency's $1.3 trillion market during a virtual technology summit. According to a report by the Australian Financial Review on Thursday, Dominic Stevens said his exchange's distributed ledger technology-based settlement system was set to handle more value than all public blockchains housing crypto. My comment, and I have some land in Florida for sale that would make a great water park. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the press release, Digital Asset Partners with NASDAQ to bring DAML to the NASDAQ Marketplace Services platform. Second was the Financial Times opinion piece from Jemima Kelly, Why We Shouldn't Listen to Crypto Experts. Third was drought indicators in Western U.S. flash warnings of the big one from Bloomberg Green. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you are not already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.